أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين سورة نوح verse number 25 مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا. Because of their iniquities, because of their wrongdoings, they were drowned. They made to enter a fire, and they did not find for themselves any helpers beside Allah. Now, this is, of course, the consequence or the conclusion of whatever was mentioned before in this surah, that Nuh called them, they rejected, and Nuh called Allah that these people are not listening to me. So here, this is the culmination of all this story. مِمَّا خَطِئَاتِهِمْ أُخْرَقُوا. Because of their wrongdoings, they were drowned. Now, this مِمَّا here, men means بِسَبَبِ, because of their wrongdoings, they were drowned. This idea of punishment and reward in our mind is a very simplistic idea. We think that there is no procedure, there is no system there. We think that God rewards anyone he wishes or punishes anyone he wishes, any individual or any nation or any community. It doesn't work like that. You see, when the Quran says, Allahu alladhi yursilu ar-riyah, Allah sends the winds. Allah anzala min as-sama'i ma'an. Allah brings down rain from the sky. It doesn't mean that Allah just decides today that I want to bring rain and, for example, I want to send wind. No. There's a system, there's a procedure here. It's consequential of certain things. Of course, Allah has managed this, Allah has measured all these things, but there is a system running. For punishment and reward as well, there is a system. If you do certain wrongdoings, then the punishment will come in a certain way. If you do certain good, the reward would come in a certain way. It's automatic. Now here, the consequence of their wrongdoing was this droning. And this consequence, the consequential sort of procedure was due to a system that Allah has put in place for things working that way. If you are good, for example, to people, to your parents, to your relatives, there is a system working in this world which prolongs your life. Not that Allah decides individually. Of course, in every event, Allah is present, but not that individually he decides to do it. No, this is the consequence which comes after these issues. Of course, it's by grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of their wrongdoings, مِمَّا خَطِئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرَقُوا, they were drowned. Now in other places in the Quran, for example, it says أَغَرَقْنَاهُمْ, we drowned them, we made them drown. But the point is explained here that it was an automatic thing. It came after them. Their acts, their wrongdoings came after them. And this is something which is a system which is working in this world. فَأُدْخَلُوا نَارًا, and they were made to enter a fire. Now, which fire is this? Is this fire of the hereafter? Apparently, the sentence does not accept this unless if we say that this is just for emphasis, saying that they will enter certainly, with certitude, without any hesitation. However, that doesn't sound very nice here. فَأُدْخَلُوا نَارًا means immediately after they were drawn, they were made to enter a fire. Now, in the case of Ali Fir'aun, who were drawn as well, you see, قوم نوح were drawn, and Ali Fir'aun, Pharaoh's clan, they were drawn as well. Now, in their case, it is more clear that the fire is now, not kept for the hereafter, it's now. It says that when in Surah Mu'min, it talks about the Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, who was yaktumu imanahu, who was concealing his faith. You know, sometimes we have to conceal our faith. There is no other choice. It is for the betterment of faith, not individuals as well. It's, of course, a protection for individuals, but for faith as well. Now, this man from Ali Fir'aun, who was from the family of Fir'aun, he was concealing his faith about Moses, that he was believing in Moses. Fir'aun didn't know he was cousin of Fir'aun or someone of very, very high rank. And then, after they found out, they wanted to kill him, and they killed him, okay? But they were actually conspiring to make him confess that he has returned back. He has reverted from the faith of Musa. He didn't do it. So all these conspiracies didn't work. So, فَوَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ مَا مَكَرُوا. From the evil conspiracies, Allah kept him, preserved him, because he was faithful. وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. And an evil punishment fell upon Ali Fir'aun, the clan of Pharaoh. You see, again, look at the sentence, the way it said, an evil punishment fell upon Ali Fir'aun. وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ. It surrounded them from everywhere, seized them. سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ. Now, what was that punishment? What was that su'ul adab, evil punishment? An-nar, it's a fire. Yu'raduna alayha ghuduwan wa ashiya. Morning and evening, they are exposed to this fire. Now, morning and evening may mean continuously, or may really, really, literally mean in the morning and in the evening, they are exposed to this fire, and then they are set free for, again, the other course of the fire to come. And then it says, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ. And when the sa'a, the hour sets in, when the resurrection happens, we will tell to angels, we will tell angels, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Make the آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ to enter into even a more severe punishment. The most severe punishment. So here it says that after they were drawn, a punishment came to them, and that was fire. An-nar, a fire which is to which they are exposed morning and evening. And when the hour comes, then we will tell that to angels that enter, make the Ali Fir'aun to enter into a more severe punishment. So it shows that after we die, in Barzakh, there is punishment, there is reward. There is punishment, there is reward. Now, the reward is also mentioned. After we die, the reward is also mentioned. Where is it mentioned? In Surah Yasin. About that Mu'min Ali Yasin. This was about Mu'min Ali Fir'aun. Now, about Mu'min Ali Yasin. It says that when he came and preached that you have to believe in these messengers, do not reject them, do not try them, then they killed him. They killed him. And what we said was that when he was killed, of course, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. When he was killed, that was the end of it. The consequence came upon them. Then we did not send anything to them from heaven, any blessing anymore, and they were destroyed. Now, this man says that when he was killed, when he died, قيل ادخل الجنة. He was said, enter paradise. قيل ادخل الجنة. قال, now this is immediately after his death. قيل ادخل الجنة. قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون. I wish my people who are still alive. This is not about day of judgment, because day of judgment everyone is there. I wished my people knew. يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. How Allah has forgiven all my sins and has made me one of the honorable, one of those who are kept in honor in the hereafter, like prophets. He, because of that martyrdom, because he was martyred by those evil people, what Allah did to me. So when we die, immediately after we die, this is before the day of judgment, there is a hell, there is a paradise. A minority of people would go to that hell, and a minority of people would go to that paradise, and majority of people, 99% of people, they are in a limbo. They don't know what will happen to them, whether they eventually go to paradise, go to hell. And this majority of people, this 99% who are outside that hell and outside that paradise, they have a spectrum of life from very, very pleasant to very, very unpleasant life there. But it's not hell or paradise in Barzakh. Then, when the judgment comes, those who are in hell in Barzakh, as Allah says, أَدْخِلُوا عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Let them go to hell. There is no judgment for them. There is no mizan, no hisab, nothing, because they're already done. I've already done with them. So they go directly to hell. For those who are in paradise in Barzakh, like Mu'min Ali Yasin, it's not, of course, like paradise of Akhirah. The world hasn't come to that stage to unfold those wonders of that day. But then they directly, for them also, there is no account, no hisab, no mizan, no way. They go directly to paradise. These 99% in the middle, for them there is hisab and mizan. Their acts should be counted, weighed, and all those things going over the sirat and everything which are mentioned is for these people who are in the middle. Now here, I mentioned all these just to explain what did it mean here when Allah says, مِمَّا خَطِئَاتِهِمْ, because of their wrongdoings, أُغْرِقُوا, they were drawn, فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا, they were made to enter a fire. This is not the fire of hereafter. This is a fire that they immediately entered. And these are the people who, on the day of judgment, فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. There is no mizan, balance, weighing. There is nothing. They go directly. لا يهديهم الله طريقا إلا طريق جهنم. There is no way for them but to go directly to hell. So, مما خطياتهم أغرقوا فأدخلوا نارا فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا. There, after they died, they were looking for someone to help them. They were looking for those idols they were worshipping to help them, for Yahuz and Ya'uq and Nasr and Wad and Su'a, which are mentioned in this surah. None of them were there. And even when the day of judgment comes, Allah says, we remove the barrier of communication between them and between the idols. فَزَيَّلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ, we remove this barrier. Now we cannot talk to an idol, okay? We cannot talk to this chair. But when Allah says we remove this barrier in communication, you can talk to them. فَقَالَ شُرَكَاؤُهُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ إِيَّانَا تَعْبُدُونَ. When we remove this barrier, then the idol start to speak. You were not worshipping us. You were worshipping your imaginations. We were not the ones whom you were worshipping. So they could not find anyone for them to help them beside Allah, who is their creator, who is their Lord. Now, after they were drawn, and after, of course, Noah was on the ark, probably when the ark settled, because it was a very terrifying experience for everyone on the ark, those huge, وَهِيَ تَجْرِي فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ, waves were coming like mountains upon this ark, and everyone was terrified. What's going to happen? We are going to drown. And Nuh was constantly praying to Allah. وَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرَاهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا. When you write, say Bismillah, then it will be saved. And Nuh was constantly remembering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that this ship, this ark, was saved from these waves which were coming like mountains. Now, after things were settled a little bit, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ, the next verse, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. And Nuh said, my Lord, do not leave on the earth any inhabitant from among the faithless. So, again, this is about kafirin. This is not about a curse on all people on the planet. Those who rejected him. And kafir is only kafir after they reject the Prophet, not before they haven't heard anything. They cannot be kafir. Like, for example, we have some of our brothers, Muslim brothers, they say, for example, the parents of the Prophet are in hell because they are mushrikun, they are kafirun. How is it possible? First of all, we believe that the parents of the Prophet were mu'minun, they were from that circle of Hunafa in Mecca. And secondly, no guidance had come. Why should they go to hell? This is one of those very interesting or amazing things which some people say about the parents of the Prophet. Now, وَقَالَ نُوحٌ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Do not leave any of the kafirin on the earth. Perish, make them all perish, destroy. Now, this looks to be a bit odd for a prophet like Noah, calling God like this, that kill all the kafirun, all the disbelievers. Do not let any one of them live. But when we see his justification, it makes sense. You remember Allah told him, informed him, Ya Nuh, innahu lan yu'mina min qawmika illa man qad aman. None of your people would believe anymore except these who are believed already. Everyone will be disbeliever from now on. Now, Noah was fearing if even one of these people would have left behind from this drowning, then he would have again come and would misguide, lead people astray, and also they were actually giving their children all this culture of disbelief and rejection. So he says, Nuh says, إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرْهُمْ يُذِلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. So two things, as I mentioned. If you leave them, they will lead astray your servants. It was very much afraid again that these people would come and create doubt in heart of people, hesitation, one thing, and secondly, and will not beget except vicious ingrates. Kafar, ungrateful, very ungrateful, and Fajr is of course vicious. So as Allah has informed him that no one will believe anymore, and he says that, well, what's the purpose? If, you know, now our concepts, our ideas are very different. We are mostly humanists, humanists. Human is actually the most important thing. Human life is most important. No matter this human is vicious, is not vicious, this human does whatever is against the law of God, it doesn't matter. It's human. God is not important. Who cares about God? Now, here the philosophy is very different, that human is, of course, honored in the Quran. Human being is very important, is the essence, the cream of creation, provided it doesn't go ungrateful to his creator. Because now the creator has become very insignificant in our eyes. You know, many sins have become very insignificant in our eyes. In fornication, for example, in this society, it has become very common. Even if someone doesn't do it, people think that there's something wrong with them. And now, because this is very common, if we say that there is a severe punishment for fornication in Islam, why? You know, it's just like if you want to talk about police and law among a bunch of criminals. You know, we are all criminals. And then when the idea of punishment, severe punishment comes, everyone is terrified. Why? Why should be such a punishment for such an insignificant, for example, sin? The whole idea of man has now changed into this materialism, just focusing only on the world, nothing else, no connection to God, nothing to hereafter, only our economy, our growth, economical growth and GDP and all these things, these are the important things nowadays. Nothing else is important. Now, of course, Allah will allow us, go what to do. E'malu ma shaytum, do whatever you want. I'm watching you. But we as Muslims should not somehow become terrified by people who say, why fornication should be punished like this? Of course, in this society, we are not living in a Muslim society. But, and we do not want, and it's not rational, for example, to enforce Islamic rule in a non-Muslim society. However, in a Muslim society, if we enforce the Islamic law, if they criticize us for it, well, why should you criticize us? We criticize you. You are criminals in our eyes. Not that we are not observing human rights. You define certain things as human rights for yourself, and one is right of fornication. Absolutely. It's one is right of fornication for human rights. You define it as human rights, and then you criticize Muslim societies, Muslim countries, for having a different take of human relationship and say what you do is against human rights. Why should we then come to this idea of accepting all these things? It's all against what we stand for, and I think we have to stand firm on this, that we should not accept that because the world is criminalized based on our law, of course not based on their own laws, that's fine. We are living in this country, we are abiding by their laws. Of course, amongst ourselves, we observe this, but we are abiding by their laws. However, they should not force other countries. You see, it is absolutely, absolutely ridiculous that they sanction and boycott a country because they do not accept same-sex marriage. You see? This is the world we are living in. And then we Muslims are somehow losing the ground and going back and around sort of back leg in this, back foot in this, which is not, of course, correct. Anyhow, this humanism wouldn't work here. It says that إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُذَلُّ عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. If you leave them, they will lead astray your servants and will not beget except vicious ingrates. And then he made another dua. رَبِّ غَفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ. Forgive me and my parents. وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا. And whoever entered my house as a believer. And for all the believers, مؤمنين والمؤمنات, male and female. وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا. And do not increase anything for ظالمون, for the oppressors, wrongdoers, except ruin. This was the final dua of Nuh. Now, مَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمَنًا. Whoever entered my house. We have a hadith in Al-Kafi from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, يَعْنِي الْوِلَايَةِ مَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الْوِلَايَةِ دَخَلَ فِي بَيْتِ الْأَنْبِيَةِ. Whoever enters into wilaya has entered into house of prophets. Of course, this wilaya doesn't mean the Shi'i wilaya for their imams. One of the instances of that is this. However, it means the wilaya between you and Allah. You accept that Allah is your wali. You defer to God. You accept his lordship. You are under his wilaya. And if you enter under that wilaya, you have entered the house of the prophets. Like in Surah Nur, we have this beautiful verse about light of Allah. And then it says, it tells us where this light of Allah could be found. Allahu nuru samawat wal arz. Then it says, fi buyutin. This light of Allah are in houses. Adhanallahu an turfa. Allah has permitted that these houses should be honored, should be gratified. يُسَبِّهُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآثَالِ رَجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيمْ تَجْرَةً. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, which houses are these? Are they mosques, for example? Is this, for example, Masjidul Haram or what? That this light of Allah is found. What are these houses? فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تُرْفَى. He said, بُيُوتُ الْأَنْبِيَا. These are the houses of the Prophets. So, مَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِي may mean that. The other meaning of dakhala bayti means enter the ark, because later on the ark became their home. For several weeks and months it was their home, because they were underwater until the water was subsided and they went on to live on the earth. So for a long time this was their house. So man dakhala bayti ya mu'mina means whoever entered my ark as a believer, وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا. And bring ruin to the wrongdoers who have brought shirk and disbelief and idolatry to this world. So this is the end of Surah Nuh. And the verses at the end, of course, gives us lots of insight into the way the punishment of Allah works, the way the things happen immediately after we die, which was very, of course, useful. After this Surah Nuh, we come to Surah Jinn. I just mentioned one introduction about Surah Jinn, and inshallah would leave the detail of Surah Jinn for our next week session, inshallah. Now, Surah Jinn is the 72nd surah. This was 71st surah Nuh, then Surah Jinn is 72nd surah, which is revealed after Surah A'raf, the long surah of A'raf. And there are two places in the Quran when the jinn who listen to the Prophet are mentioned in detail. One is in Surah Ahqaf, which was the 66th surah. And one is here in Surah Jinn, which was the 40th surah revealed. Of course, Surah Ahqaf is now the 46th surah in the Quran. The two instances may be the same, referring to the same incident, or two different incidents. I will mention that later on. However, what is Jinn? Jinn literally means something which is hidden. And that's why the embryo is called janin, something which is hidden. A garden with lots of trees is called jannah. Why? Because these trees would hide the garden from being seen. It covers it. And jinn also means hidden creature, and that's why some exegetes have mentioned that the angels also could be called jinn. And this is an explanation which Sheikh Tusi says, brings when he argues that shaitan was from angels. You know, there are two views, whether Iblis was from angels or from jinn. Now, one of the very strong advocates of Iblis being from angels is Sheikh Tusi. Now, when these verses are brought to his attention, for example, فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. He was one of the jinn who disobeyed his Lord. He says jinn may refer to angels too, because they are hidden as well. So any hidden creature. Now, are there hidden creatures in the world? Has Allah created things which are not physical? Or even if they are physical, they are hidden from our eyes? Well, instinctively we would immediately say no, but if we think a bit further down, we say that, well, this was a silly answer. Why I say no? Maybe. How should I know? If I say, if the question is, are there creatures in this world which are hidden from our senses, which our senses cannot detect, we cannot say yes or no. We say, we don't know. Maybe. We cannot, it's not impossible. It depends whether we have been given any information or not. And the Quran gives us information that yes, Allah has created many hidden creatures. Not one type, many types. When we say jinn is not only one type. There are many different types. As we have physical creatures, many different types. We have human beings, horses, animals, donkeys. In that hidden world, there may be, okay, we cannot deny, different types of animals, different types of beings, creatures living there, which we have exactly the same relations that we have. For example, some of them eat others, isn't it? Some of us are eating some other physical beings, isn't it? We are eating sheep and goats. We are eating them, isn't it? Maybe in that world as well, there will be such a thing. That's they, for example, they are of different types, they eat each other, like us, the way we do, not of course of the same species, not cannibalism, but we are eating animals. I sometimes think that in our cartoons, for example, we depict wolves as very evil animals with these teeth coming after rabbits and coming after sheep. Then if you can imagine us human beings, how many times more we eat and kill, then we wouldn't depict the wolves like that. We would depict ourselves like those very vicious and ugly animals, for example. Anyhow, the Quran says that there are creatures which are hidden from your senses. And they, some of them are like you. They have free will. They have intellect, they can judge, they can believe, they can disbelieve, just like you. However, these are hidden from us. These are completely different types of creatures Allah has created. Allah may have created many things which He has not even mentioned it for us, because there is no relation between us and them. And why should Allah mention them? Maybe Allah has created many things on other galaxies. Why should Allah mention them? There is no connection between us and them. But the jinn, Allah mentions, because there is a sort of connection between us and those creatures. Sometimes we overlap in our worlds, or we somehow intrude into each other's worlds. And that's why Allah mentions them. Otherwise, as I said, there will be many other creatures that Allah never mentions. The angels Allah mentioned because they have some bearing on our life. We have some sort of contact with angels, even if we do not know ourselves. So Allah mentions them. But there are certain things that maybe Allah does not mention at all. As for example, we have in hadith that there are certain angels that Allah has created. Al-Mala'ikatul Muhayyamun, those who are absorbed in the beauty of God, that they don't even know that God has created anything in this world except them, because they are so absorbed into the beauty of Allah, they cannot see anything else, just like blind angels, for example. They are blind angels, but blind because of love, not because of anything else. So many different types of creatures Allah has created. Now here, God says that there is a sort of connection, more than just this intruding into each other's worlds, but even learning from each other. The jinn may learn from human beings, especially learning comes from the other side, and superstition goes from this side. Because the problem is because this creature, jinn, has been subject to huge superstition about human beings, many rational people try to deny it. But no, there is no such a creature. However, if we take away all the superstitious ideas about jinn, then we should say, why? Why shouldn't we believe that the jinn is another type of creature like human beings that Allah have created? And actually, we go to paradise and hell together with jinn. Yeah, when we go to paradise, the jinn would go to paradise too. There are good jinn, of course, who go to paradise. And there are bad jinn who go to hell with human beings. In hell, of course, human and jinn are interacting with each other. In paradise, I don't know, because in Surah Ar-Rahman, where both jinn and ins are addressed, Allah speaks of two paradises. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ Whoever, which probably means of jinn and ins, fear the position of their Lord. Not just fear sinning, disobeying their Lord. No, fear the glory of their Lord. They have awe and respect for Lord. Jannatan, there are two gardens. Two gardens. And these two gardens may be one for human and one for jinn. And that's why in the surah all the time is, فَبْأَيَّ أَلَاءَ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ O man, jinn and ins. Which one of the blessings of your Lord you deny? Anyhow, now coming to surah jinn. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أوحي إلي say it was revealed to me أنه استمع نفر من الجن a group of jinn came and listened فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا they said we have listened to a wondrous recitation. And then they continue saying things. Now, the way the verse is mentioned indicates that the Prophet did not see them. When the Prophet was praying, apparently, and during the night, and then doing the morning prayer, because later on he says, وَأَنَّهُ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يَدْعُوهُ When Abdullah, the Prophet, when he stood to call Allah in prayer, they had come from different quarters, كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدَى They were just going on top of each other to listen the recitation of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So, the verse actually indicates that Prophet did not see them. After they came and listened and went, it was revealed to the Prophet that while you was reciting the Quran in your Salat, probably, because in Salatul Layl and also in Salatul Fajr, Prophet recited lots of Quran, while you were reciting, a group of jinn came and listened. And then they conversed about this Quran. They talked about what they heard, and the verses would actually inform us. It's a sort of report about what the jinn heard, what they said, and what they did. But there are others who say, no, Prophet did see them and was aware of them, which inshallah, about these two views, I will discuss next week. So next week we start Surah Jinn from the beginning, and we discuss all these different views. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد صح.